Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Welcoming Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column. He's based in London. And he returns to a moment in British premiership history. Liz Truss, as prime minister, leading the Tories for X number of days. And suddenly, everything turned extremely bearish in London. Something very complicated happened, accusing Miss Truss and her chancellor of wrecking the English pound, wrecking the English markets, because they proposed a supply-side budget. Proposed it, not passed it. No vote, no reading the first time, the second time, proposed it. And yet, here we have again, if I follow Joe's most recent column correctly, a Truss moment that can come home to America easily following the election in 2 weeks' time. Joe, it's necessary for us to review a story that you very carefully explicated at the time, but here we are at a moment, time when it could come back. What is it that Liz Truss and her chancellor were accused of, and how can it be explained as a coincidence and not a conspiracy? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. So we're back in September of 2022. Liz Truss has recently become Britain's prime minister. She was elected by members of her party, promising a series of economic reforms that were supposed to get the British economy out of its inflation crisis and its slow growth malaise. Tried to get people past an energy price crisis that was then mounting in the wake of the Ukraine war, which was still only a few months old back then. And so on September 22nd or 23rd, her Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng announced the first step of this program, which was going to be a set of supply-side tax reforms. So there were rate reductions for incomes across the board. They were going to cancel a planned increase in the corporate income tax, and a bunch of other measures. And the purpose of this was to try to create new incentives for work and investment and business formation. And it was going to be a down payment on a bigger part, a bigger package of supply-side overhauls, deregulation. There were going to be government spending reductions and reforms over time. And she never got the chance to do any of that because within a day or two, markets had gone haywire. The market for gilts, which are UK government bonds, seemed to be in free fall. The pound seemed to be in free fall relative to other currencies. Markets were in chaos. And the conventional wisdom almost immediately became that this was the bond vigilantes and the markets passing their negative judgment on her supply side reforms. And I think the key point, and we've discussed this before because I've been really banging the drum about this for a while, is that that wasn't really true. What was happening was the consequences of a series of policy failures by other politicians that she had stumbled into. But the lesson that I think that those other politicians and people on the left has learned from this is that if you play your cards right, you can blame the conservative politician for the consequences of your own failures. And so I think this is the relevance to the U.S. is that I am starting to detect signs of, economists and commentators on the left kind of paving the ground here so that if there is some kind of market upset early in Trump's tenure, they will be all set to blame him for that instead of recognizing that those developments would probably be the consequences of a lot of bad policies that these people themselves have brought in.
Blaming supply-siders. Liz Truss was blamed as a supply-sider. What does that mean, Joe, a supply-sider?
Well, I mean, the supply-side economic formula going back to the 80s was this notion that what you really need to focus on is creating better incentives for working and for investment. I think traditional Keynesian economists would focus on the demand side of the economy, and that's where you get things like all of these fiscal stimulus bills that try to put checks in people's bank accounts or get the government to spend money. And the idea there is to try to juice demand. Supply-siders say, well, really, the solution to your problem has to be to create more supply in the economy. And you can only do that if you trigger productive investment. And so Liz Truss wanted to follow that kind of formula, where the focus was going to be on, not just quote unquote tax cuts, which often can mean giveaways, but it was going to be tax reforms. What do we need to have as the tax rate for incomes or for corporate profits so that you can really create better incentives for people to work and invest? And then that will be your way out of a lot of your economic problems. And, I think that one point to note here is that Donald Trump, in his better moments, will embrace those kinds of policies. The 2017 tax reform, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, was really a supply-side measure because it was focused on a lot of the incentives for saving and work and investment. And it was very successful. It delivered rapid economic growth without inflation to speak of. And that actually seems to be the thing now that a lot of commentators and politicians on the left are hoping to discourage by raising the specter that if he proposes something like that again, you might have this trust-like phenomenon that somehow the markets would not tolerate it this time around.
So the inflation will explode, the markets will collapse, and we'll immediately be into a deep recession. Is that the allegation?
Yes, it's really conspicuous that a lot of the things that critics are saying about Trump's economic program now are also exactly the allegations that were levied against Truss's economic program. And I want to be really clear here. I am not carrying water for Donald Trump. I think that there are a lot of economic proposals that he makes, especially on trade issues and the tariffs, that would be enormously destructive and really self-defeating for him politically, because the evidence from the first term is that those measures did not support growth. And his record would have been a lot better if you hadn't at least had the supply-side tax reform alongside those measures. But it's notable that, people aren't really trying to discourage the tariffs so much because President Biden has kept many of the Trump tariffs, and President Harris, if that's what we have after the election, would probably be likely to continue a lot of those too. So what's really in the crosshairs of his critics are things like the tax reform. What people are going after preemptively are the supply side aspects of his policy agenda. And the rap sheet is that they would be so expensive that they would blow out the deficit, and that would spook the bond vigilantes. And, the deficit impact is sort of mixed. The problem is that these people never quite account for some of the economic growth benefits that you do get from these reforms. But I think that the bond vigilante aspect, you do have to wonder about that. And if it does happen, you wonder how much of it will be because these critics have preemptively talked traders into that kind of reaction to this policy program.
Anticipating the budget from the overwhelming majority of Labor, Mr. Starmer and Ms. Reeves, how do we describe that, Joe? Is that anti-supply side? Is that demand side? Is that total Keynesianism? They want to cut taxes. They want to raise taxes on everything, as far as I can see. Is there a name for it?
Well, I train wreck is one option, because basically, what we're again seeing in the UK is the alternative to that kind of supply side vision, which is the other part of this equation that critics of supply side economics in the US don't want to talk about. So you're going to say, if you try to do a genuine tax reform that stimulates more work and investment, the bond vigilantes will come for you. Well, what's the alternative? Because the UK is trying that alternative right now. It has involved much higher taxes, It has involved more government spending, but government spending that is much less efficient and more economically destructive. And the Labour administration that we have now in the UK under Keir Starmer and his Chancellor Rachel Reeves, they keep promising that there's going to be more quote-unquote investment in things like public works or favoured industries. They have yet to articulate what that's going to mean, and the British government's track record of doing any of that successfully is pretty abysmal. So, you know, your alternative is that you can either go for the supply side race for growth, or you get stuck in this very dysfunctional economy, which just generates high inflation and low growth and political frustration.
I want to remember correctly. It was the Tories who rejected the supply side by Prime Minister Truss. There weren't enough Labour in the room to have opposed it. And those Tories are still, well, some of them still have their office. Are the Tories still anti-supply side?
Well, they may end up coming around. Part of it will depend on who their leader becomes in the leadership election that is currently underway to replace Rishi Sunak. But again, this also is a cautionary tale, because I think that one of the problems that the Conservative Party in the UK ran into is that they had lost the muscle memory of explaining and defending the supply side policies that have a proven track record of success if politicians remember how to explain that to voters. And instead, I think that the Conservative Party, for a long time before Truss became their leader and the prime minister, had fallen into this trap of big government, in the George W. Bush administration, they called compassionate conservatism. And so that meant that they didn't have that muscle memory for explaining and defending the policies that we know work, because they did work in the 1980s. And so, you know, you end up in this trap where you will not have anyone in the political sphere who will be capable of offering voters a real alternative. And so, my message in U.S. politics is that I think that one of the parties, and it'll probably be the Republicans, need to be careful not to fall into that trap, because we want a economic policy debate that is competitive. And I think that some of the scaremongering about bond vigilantes and Trump's potential economic agenda is intended to short circuit that healthy two-party debate.
Oh, detail, Joe, just a moment here. One of the explanations for the inflation that exploded in these last years was government spending. Is that lesson learned in London, or are they going to find out all over again that government spending leads to inflation?
Oh, I think that it's hard to argue that that lesson has been learned over here. I think that the lesson that they think they have learned is that you can spend as much as you want to as long as your taxes are high enough, which is why the Labour government is now talking about whinging tax increases on top of what the Conservative administration already did after they ousted Truss. But I'm not confident that this is going to solve the inflation problem over here permanently, because you're going to have government goosing demand. At the same time, it's going to be very difficult to have new investment in production or incentives for work.
And so what we learned the hard way, the government spending these last years, Labour's going to ignore. That train wreck is polite, Joe. Joseph Sternberg. He's a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's looking at two governesses on either side of the Atlantic with the same lesson, that the accusation is coming for whoever wins, but certainly if Mr. Trump wins, high inflation, market collapse, and recession, deep recession. That's the result of the supply side come back again. We're going to turn to life in London next, especially the idea of regulating dog walking, which is quite fantastic to me. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.